His name is above all names.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
We are the church. You're born again Christian. You are the church. Christ resides in us. And Christ hasn't changed. Jesus is still the same today as he was yesterday. He'll be the same thing tomorrow. But what has changed? The church has changed. Oh, God, forgive us. The church has changed. God, how happened? The greatest force upon the earth, Jesus Christ. The church, the greatest power. Power above all power. Power above any bomb that you ever created. But the church has got to the point. Give me three songs and a poem. Let's get out of here. Now, I'm talking about this church. I'm not just talking about this church here. Please, understand. We've all been raised in church. And but now we have all been raised in church. But what the church is around me. The question is, what happened to the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit? Shakers and movers of the community. Somehow we took a back seat. Somehow we think, as a church, we show up for half an hour. An hour if he's windy today. And we get out of here. I'm sick and tired. My spirit, I am sick and tired of the Monday. Everything routine. I pray that you're getting sick. I pray that you're getting fed up. Watching people get stomped on. I pray you're getting tired of seeing the name of Jesus Christ as nothing more than a comic act. Or even a name that's not even recognized anymore. Or is not even lifted up. Many take the name of Jesus Christ in our daily conversation as a pun. Some take that precious name, the name above all names, and use it to curse with. We just confessed it. That name is above every name. That power is resided. If you're here, a born-again Christian is inside of you. Still there. He wants to stir us up. He wants the church to come back to life. Amen? He wants us to come back to life. He hasn't changed what he started 2,000 years ago. It's still the same way today. He hasn't changed the church. Understand that? We have. People have. We have sat down as people. Why? Too busy? Don't want to be rejected? Don't want to be persecuted? Are we truly Christians? Are we truly followers of Jesus Christ? That's the question I guess today he has in our hearts. Are we born again believers following Jesus Christ? Have we been to the cross? Or are we sitting here because we want fire insurance? We just don't want to go to hell. But we don't want to live for Jesus as a church, okay?
Right.
Don't say, well, Pastor, hey, if I step on your toes, he stepped on your toes. Otherwise, say, yeah, you know what I'm saying? He's here to stir us up, guys. You know, it's no different. You ever play sports? Brother Fred, you're in the military, right? Did you drill sergeant ever get you fired up? You're still a soldier, right? I mean, you're still a fighter, but sometimes you just get... You say, hang on! We're going to go for a 20-mile hike. Come on. Stir you up. If you ever play sports, and you're getting beat, it's the fourth quarter football game. And you come in, you're just tired. You're just glad to be breathing. You know what I'm saying? You sit down. Wow. They're just better than we are. We played three quarters, and here we are. We're down 49-0. And here comes the coach. He says, okay, hey, give up. Go on home. We lost this one. Is that what the coach says?
No.
He says, no. They go on. on. They might have won the first three quarters. We're going to win this last one.
That's right.
Come on. We finally got them wore down. Let's get fired up. You have the same muscles in your body that they do. They're just using it more. So let's use our greater. It stirs up the team to get back out there and fight to the finish. That's what the Master wants to do with us.
Amen.
Oh, but the thing different is, we already know who runs the game. You know what I'm saying? So we can't sit down. Again, we can't sit down and think, well, I got fire insurance. I'm not going to hell. I confess Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. That's just the beginning of it when you confess Christ. Amen. Those in the military, when you sign on the dotted line to give your life to the country for a while, did you sit down? That was it? I just got started, right?
Work ahead.
Exactly. And with a lot of us, we sign that dotted line for Jesus. We come in the church, and all we did really, probably ain't our fault. Hey, good morning. How you doing? Look at me. I'm doing the same thing you're doing. Just sitting here. So we think that's the normal. Amen? Mm-hmm. Henry Church? Henry, seriously.
Right.
Okay? I mean, if Fred out there, if Fred invited me to go golfing, I can't golf, Fred. Okay? But Fred should be a pro, my understanding. He should be a pro golfer. But if he picked me up, never been golfing before, he picks me up, puts me in little carts, and we drive around. There's 18 holes on the golf course, or not, okay? If we only played one or two of them, and he goes back into the clubhouse, and he shot a 19, oh, wow, what a game. I think that'd be normal, right? I didn't know you had to play every hole. Fred doesn't, but I think it is normal. You just pick which one you want. You know, one you're closest to, okay?
Yeah.
Now, if Kenny come along as a golf pro and took me golfing, wait, Kenny, you don't play every hole. Come on. Are you a fanatic? Are you a fanatic at golf? Kenny wants to play all 18 holes. Me and Fred, we play four of them. We get done a lot quicker. We make it into the bar, don't we, Fred? Get them cheeseburger and pop, okay? We like the fanatics stay out there and play the whole 18 holes. Oh, they look so stupid out there, don't they?
That's right.
But that is a church today. We came in, accepted into a dead church. Now, again, we're going back 100 years, okay, guys? So don't say, oh, listen, thinking it's a normal. But this is the normal. This is the normal.
Amen. Cast out devils, lay hands.
You get people who receive this. 100%. And they become Kenny Weekly. Fanatic. Fanatic. Instead of playing three holes, getting out of time to beat the Catholics to L&K. You want to do what? You want to pray? What, you want testimonies? We lay hands on the sick in here? We're going to lift up our country in here? I mean, see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? See what God's saying? Inside of us is amber. That was started 2,000 years ago, that birthed the church. We got born again, it came to us, but we need to stir it up to be the church that He's called us to be. Is it fanatic? I don't know. I'll ask you this.
It's real.
Been married to my wife 40 years. Every night I go home to her, 7 days a week. Is that a fanatic? I don't mean to be yelling at you, right in my eye, Bob. Is that a fanatic? Is it? Should I just go home 3 days a week? That make me more acceptable to society? No. Every night I go home to her. How about the Master? And inside of us, inside of you, there's a fire inside of you. There's a power inside of you greater than you can imagine. But God wants to tap into it. He started the church. Jesus did. The Pope didn't start it. The government didn't start the church. Jesus did. He shows us here. In Matthew 28, he says, he had gathered 11 disciples. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, yes, even to the end of the age." That's the commission to the church. I don't know, and Fred, I won't ask you to repeat the oath you take when you're sworn in as a soldier, because I took one when I became a deputy. I can't remember exactly all I said. But inside that stated what I promised to do, and it's protect, okay? As a Christian, as a follower of Christ, this is it. This is our anthem. This is what we are charged with. This is what we agree with. Now, for some of us, we don't know. Maybe some of us, we never heard this before. Maybe some of us signed up, received Christ as our Savior and Lord, just because you don't want to go to hell. Or you were told, hey, just say this prayer. Just say this prayer, Jesus is Lord, and you'll be in heaven. I apologize to you if that's how you come to the Lord. And that's how far that you went. Because you forget the part about repenting. Repent from our sins. Accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Save us from hell. Amen. I don't want to go to hell. And become the Lord of our life. His Lord means He will tell you what to do. I don't mean to stand on top of you. He'll tell you what to do. Didn't you follow it? If we don't follow it, He's not our Lord, right? I mean, it'd be like Fred. Kenny was in the Navy. Fred was in the Navy. Both of them, great. It's like Kenny went to Fred and convinced him, "Hey, man, do you like fishing? Yeah. Do you like to go on cruises? I mean, out in the ocean and have eat and watch the fish. Yes. Well, you need to sign up for the Navy. Oh, you'll love it. That's what we do the whole time. We float around and we're on a cruise ship. But Fred signs up. Fred, was it that way?
Yeah, that's the truth.
That's the truth, yeah. Yeah. Did a lot of floating. But you were deceived.
Yes.
I can imagine. Here you are, out in the ocean, there you're floating around, and here comes your admiral, whoever, I don't know, the Navy chain of command and stuff. You stop, hey, where's the tennis court at here? What? Where's the tennis court? There's no tennis court. Well, Kenny told me we played tennis, and we did this and this. And what happened, Kenny made some money off of you, because he recruited you, okay? Now you're on your own. But the same way in the church, we have the same thing, because the Bible talks about jewels in our crown. Okay, we'll get a crown in heaven, and for those who come to the Lord, we have a piece of it. We get rewards for it, and then we give our crown to Jesus. Okay, so sometimes people say, "Just give your life to Jesus. You don't want to go to hell, do you? You don't want to burn all the time. No, just ask Jesus to come in your life." Done. You go to the next one. Hey, let Jesus come in like thinking, well, we're getting jewels in our crown. Not explaining, hey, listen, you know, God loves you very much. You know, He cares for you. His Son died for you. But there's a thing in our life called sin that has to be removed. That sin separates us from God. In fact, we're born in sin. Believe it or not, a child, when he's born, wasn't designed to badmouth you. The terrible twos never existed before man fell, okay? But that sin separates us, and God loves you so much that He wants to forgive your sins. That the wage of that sin is death and hell for eternity, but Christ died on that cross to pay your debt. He said, man, you need to turn away from it. Accept this action come into your life. And you will. And you follow Him. Now she's got a better understanding. But He says this, though. They nailed him to the cross. They're going to do the same thing to you. Understand that. They're going to reject you if you're following him. I'm not picking on you. Can you help me? Okay. If you choose to follow him. If you're going to follow Jesus, listen, church. Look in the mirror a minute. You're going to be persecuted. Understand that if you're truly a follower of Jesus Christ, people want to pull your beard out like they did his. Why? Because you represent Jesus Christ. Jesus never hid for anybody, did he? He walked around. In fact, the disciples, even the family, tried to get him to come back a little ways. They scared for him. But he wasn't afraid. He came with a greater purpose. To redeem us. His eyes was on the reward in heaven, the souls that were coming. Hear me, church? Let him speak to you today. When's the last time you were persecuted, seriously, for Jesus? Now, I don't mean to go out there purposely have people cuss you out for Jesus. I mean, anybody get obnoxious to get cussed out, right? Amen. You get through a drive-thru at McDonald's, you get cussed out, okay? But for showing the love of Jesus, what we're saying, not being obnoxious. You know, I mean, I can see you walk up, if I don't know Jason here, hey, you're going to hell. That's going to offend him a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Okay? Now, it might be true, without Christ, we all go to hell, right? Yeah. We know that. I mean, that's where sin goes. But it'd be like I did my sister here. Hey, God loves you, man, but do you know this thing called sin in her life? Hear me, church? Now that I share with him, he might get upset, get mad, woo, cuss me out, might slap me. Okay? So, the question is, do I want to see Jason in heaven more than I want to see myself in the flesh being safe, I guess, is the question. When's the last time you walked up to a stranger, maybe in line, and say, hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm Starkey. I just wondered, hey, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? And then ask them that question and then be led by the Spirit on their response. Have you? Have you ever tried that? Just think about that. If we really cared for souls, we'll do that. When the Spirit moves on us. You understand what I'm saying? When the Spirit moves on us, we will. But we've been called to do that. That is the church. That is the church. I mean, if we was all in a big boat right now, going down the rapids, whitewater rapids, thank you. Rapping is what Jason does. Okay. Imagine we got this big boat going on, the water's turmoil, woo, up and down, up and down, up and down, and we're all on this boat, but we got 1,000 more seats behind us. 1,000 more seats behind us. Will we offer a seat to someone along the shore? Come on, the water's getting higher, get in. Or we look straight ahead and say, woo, better not, don't get mad. If I tell them to get in because they're going to drown, they might get mad at me because they can't swim. Hear me, church? But if we care for them, we'll at least tell them. The water is rising. We're in these rapids. Get in. You're not be able to survive it. And they reject it. It breaks our heart. But at least, out of love, we tried to reach him. Amen? That is the church. That's what we're called to be. And the church, especially here in America, for the most part, the church is dead. For the most part, the power that God's given us is dead. You know, there's a movie out called God's Not Dead. And it's true, he's not dead, but some of his people are. In prison, they have a saying, dead man walking. The church is almost there. But God ain't giving up on us. He wants to revitalize us. He wants to stir us up. But the question is, are you truly willing to surrender your life for Jesus Christ? Are you truly willing to be His followers? And man, that's something you have to contemplate on. Listen, seriously guys, that's a very serious question. Why am I really willing? Do I really recognize what He came to do in my life? Do I really understand that the wages of sin is death in a place called hell for eternity? That God loves me so much that He doesn't want me to go there? That place was made for the fallen angels, not for me. But Satan and his angels have been deceiving us because they want to drag us with them in order to get at God. They hate you because they hate God. And somehow over the years, of all the power and authority and strength and all the signs and wonders and miracles that God's given us as a body of Christ to do, somehow Satan has come along, and this flame, this fire that the church had, he took water and he kept hosing it down, hosing it down, hosing it down. It's like anytime somebody raises up to bring up that fire again, to go back to that Pentecost, to go back to what God has established in the church, and he raises up, people say, I get out of here. We don't want that stuff in here. You're going to embarrass me. I might bring my friend in here one of these days. And hear you speaking in tongues. Come on. What do you do? Get the snakes out next? Hear me, church. Hear me. Listen, please. He's going to stir us up. We might be cooled down, but we're not dead, are we? We might have been snoozing for a while. We may have been not waiting, you know, maybe we were waiting for the election to be over. You know, the election isn't going to save us. Understand that. It gives us a little broader time to speak the truth about Jesus without being thrown in jail. I think that's what the church has got, bought some time to minister, to share Jesus Christ to the world before a gag is put in our mouths. And we're also sharing the word together in prison. We have this opportunity. We can't sit down on it. Look what he said. Look what the master said. In Mark 16, let me share this with you. You know, it tells a story, and you might have heard this before as you're turning there. This guy wanted to come to America, and it cost $300 to get here on a ship. So he saved and saved and saved. He bought the cheapest package he could get, cheapest ticket that he could get to get on that ship to come to America. And he spent 3 weeks in his room. He had packed peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. He had Opal's no-bake cookies. Everything. But he packed his own dinner. He just had enough to get on that ship and make it to America. Well, the day was coming to the arriving in the port. And he comes up out of his room finally. And people say, oh, man. Bob, I didn't know you was on the ship. I didn't know you came. I didn't know you was here. I didn't know. Where you been? He said, well, I've been down my room the whole time. Why was you down there? Oh, we had such a great time up here, man. We did play tennis. Okay, we ate. We had all this dining. I didn't see the dining room or nothing. Well, I couldn't afford the passage. Now, all I could afford was enough to get on the boat. I had peanut butter and jelly for 3 weeks. I said, Bob, part of your ticket that you bought included 24 hours of dinner in the dining area. You could have ate anytime you wanted to. You could have looked at any of the shows you had. Could have went swimming. Could have played tennis. But what happened? Bob didn't know. He spent 3 weeks just barely getting by, barely surviving. Not because the things weren't provided for him. He didn't know they were there. Okay? Well, look what he tells us here. In Mark 16, verse 15. Talking about after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to the 11 themselves. They were reclining at the table. And Jesus approached them. I'm in 16, verse 15. I don't know if I told you that or not. He approached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who have believed." These signs will accompany the church. These signs will be with every believer. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will prick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That was spoken 2,000 years ago. Who did he speak to? He spoke to the church. Hear me, church? He's speaking to you, Judy, as a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, I know there's a lot of weird stuff goes around where they do actually pick up snakes and pass it around. If you ever go to a church and get the snakes out, you get out.
That's right.
Because what he is talking about, these are followers of Jesus Christ. And so what they're doing is following Jesus. They're representing Jesus wherever they go. And he said, "If you follow me, I'll protect you. If you get bit by a snake, boom, shake it off. If the enemy tries to take you out with poison, boom, you'll survive." And we saw where Paul got bit by a snake, remember?
Yeah.
Paul got shipwrecked. And while making a fire for his enemy and for other prisoners, a snake bit him, should have killed him. He lived. And what a testimony it was to those around him. That's the same God that we serve. Okay, but that is for those who are following him. Listen. He's spoken to those who are 100% sold out for Jesus Christ with no compromise. Hear me, church? I mean, that's the important part you have to understand. True followers of Christ, and true followers of Christ, they don't play with sin. Hear me, church. Hear what God's saying today. He wants to stir in our hearts. He wants a church that's powerful. He wants people to see you and see His Son, Jesus. I want to know how real it is, His love for us. But man, there are so many sanctuaries that are mortuaries anymore. So what makes a difference? What makes a difference, Betty, if I come here to church? Or if I go around the corner to church? Or I go up the hill in church? We're all doing the same thing, just about. The difference should be the Holy Spirit. That third person of the Trinity. That can make you look goofy. Why? Because the flesh and blood has a hard time controlling the Holy Spirit in our life. But we can. Some people doesn't want closer to the Lord because they're afraid. They're afraid that actually they'll go shopping and be checking out. And the cashier will say, "Anything else?" And you say, That's speaking in tongues. That's a prayer language. I control that. I understand that. Don't be afraid of it. Don't think somebody's going to start saying something to you, you're going to start speaking in tongues. It's given to us. That's called a prayer language. Yes. Is what it is. When Paul says that he prays more than anyone, he's in his prayer language, prayer without ceasing, that's what he's talking about. That's through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is praying through you.
Amen.
And that's something you want to embrace. That's something you want. Don't be scared of it. Now, somebody would get scared today. Oh, man, they're weird down there. Some of you might never come back here. I don't know. But God wants to fire up people who truly want to follow His Son, who truly be an outreach, a representation of Jesus Christ. And that is there for the church. But it takes discipline on our part. You know, we are so used as people to do whatever we want to and get whatever we want. So many times the lions are going to say, listen, if you don't behave yourself, you're going to sit in that corner there for 10 minutes. Understand that? Acts up again. All right, I'm going to tell you. The next time, I'm for real this time. I gave you a break. If it happens again, I'm going to put you in the corner for 10 minutes. See what happens? What I say doesn't bother her because she knows I'm going to cave in. I know I was supposed to be here at 10 o'clock today to get what I was supposed to pick up, but, well, I overslept. You know, I know I should be here at 10, it's 11:30 now, but I had a tough night. They was running the first season of Mr. Belvedere, you know. So what happens? All right, come on. But listen, next time, 10 o'clock is 10 o'clock. We are so much use in our life of no absolutes that we don't care. We don't believe. We hardly believe people when they say anything anymore. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, do you ever, anyone go up to you and say, hey man, I love you. I love you, buddy. And then turn around and talk about you. Woo-hoo! I do love you, buddy. I mean, we're so used to it. And we have to turn that around. In the church, we have to turn that around. Absolutely, this Word of God is absolute. Amen. There's no compromise. And man, it's awesome. If we follow it. Amen. Truly, be a follower of His. How many here, don't raise hands. My question, how many here are true followers of Jesus today? How many are really following Him because they love Him? Or are following Him because they don't want to go to hell? You know? Now I know, if I ask who wants to go to hell, nobody wants to go to hell. Folks, I understand that. Okay, nobody wants to. It's an awesome thing. But we missed the point where when He redeemed us, He traded His life for our life. And so just as Christ walked upon the earth 2,000 years ago, now His Spirit lives in us and He walks with us. How does Jesus get into the hospital today to lay hands on the sick? How does He get in there today? Huh?
Through us.
Through what?
Through us.
Yes, you're saying it. It's louder. Through us.
Through us.
Through us.
Yes.
That's how He does that. How does comfort come to your friend whose life just went upside down? The Holy Spirit. Through us. You know? Through us. That's awesome. And we have to get away of that feeling of being out of place. Because we are out of place. You understand that? If we're a follower of Jesus, we're outcasts in our society. We should be. Okay? In a good way. Our citizenship is in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're aliens here on earth. I was so blessed yesterday. Two things happened. I'll share with you and I'll conclude here. But I pulled in the church yesterday. Came down just for a moment. I pulled my truck up against the wall. I was sitting there listening to a song on the radio. And boom! A chair came flying out of the upstairs window. Hit beside me. Exploded everywhere. Boy, I jumped out there. Hey, what's going on up there? And this young guy looking back at me and his girlfriend. What's going on? We'll clean out the apartment. What are you throwing chairs down for? I don't want to carry down the steps. I said, well, don't do that. Don't do that. Well, I mean, I was ready to go right now. And I talked to him. I came back inside here. And I mean, the Lord was hanging out about it, thinking about it. And so later I went back out and they were still working. I said, hey buddy, listen. I didn't mean to scream so much, but I'm a retired cop. Okay? When I seen the chair come out of the window, I expected somebody to follow it here in a second. Okay? So I reacted. Why did I react that way? for 40 years.
Yes.
I've carried a badge. I've been trained to intercede, okay? That quick, boom. Now, praise God, I came in here. My next training was, okay, let's go make peace, okay? But because it kept coming into me throughout the 40 years, it comes out. And the same way with our lives, folks. As the Word of God comes to us, we just absorb it more and more. When something in your life happens, boom, you're going to respond with the Word of God. But it only happens if we allow that Word to come in and really, really, really want it in our life. Okay? And the second thing that happened, I was getting ready, I went out the third time, when they told me they were throwing the stuff out and haul it around to the dumpster, I went outside and they hauled the dumpster all right. Our dumpster was packed out here. And at the same time, the Joe, who owns the whole place, he come out. And, hey, you can't do that. You know, he starts getting on to him about that, you know. I thought, Joe, I already talked to him, you know. And finally talked to him, and they knew where to put the trash at and stuff. But through the course of time, Joe tells me, hasn't been feeling very good. I guess he's been laid up for a couple months. He's just having a very, very tough time. And he goes to a church that isn't familiar with laying on hands, okay? So here I am. He's my landlord. I pay the rent. Here, you know, we all do that. So what do you think I did? Exactly. I said, hey, can I pray for you? Yeah. And then he's sitting in his car, and I just praying for him, with him. I just feel the presence of God there. You know what I mean? Awesome. So the thing that could have been bad, I could have went down the road and never went back out there to apologize, whatever, and I would have missed him completely. I got to represent Christ two different ways yesterday. So sometimes we open our mouth up too quick. We can't be afraid to go back and cover it up, you know what I'm saying, and say, hey, listen, that's just the way I was trained. You know, they didn't throw any more chairs out, I can say that much, you know. But what I want to do, as we close today, his name is above all names. And I'm asking, do you have a prayer concern today? Do you have a prayer need today? Do you know someone that has a prayer need today? Folks, there's so much power in here in your belief and your faith that demons should tremble when we come together. They should all know, man. I mean, we should have more flat tires coming to church probably, trying to stop us coming together, because he knows one can cause 1,000 to flee, but 2, 10,000. And folks, that's what the church is. We are the body of Christ. You're my brother. You're my sister. We come here to encourage one another, do we not?
Amen.
We come in to praise God, which we do all week long, amen? We come in here to the Word and be encouraged. But this is only a little bit of our whole week. 7 days, man, this is us, the body of Christ. This week, don't raise your hands, but did you go to anybody? Did you come together with other people for prayer? I get this concern, hey man, I saw this on the news, let's pray. Hey, I just heard that this is going on, pray. Hey, how are you doing? Yeah, I just saw it on the news too, I can't believe it. Hey, I just called you, you got a minute, let's pray together. Was that you this week? Or was it, oh man, I can't believe this stuff, shut it off and walk away from it. I mean, it's terrible, nothing wrong with shutting it off. Was something that brought to your attention, did you take it up in prayer, did you intercede? Was you Jesus to the world this past week? Great responsibility to be a follower of Jesus. Great responsibility. But fantastic that God has entrusted us with the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Pat, if I told you to go around town and just tell people that my son Ryan said put on his account, whatever you want, boom, wow, you trust me? Well, Pastor, I might go out there and buy 10 cases of whiskey and pass it out. No, I trust you won't do that. That's why I gave you His name to use. Same with us. As a Christian, He's given that name, Jesus Christ, the most powerful name in the universe, to use. He gave us a label. Now, His label is we are followers of Jesus. The world gave us a label of Christian. But we represent Him wherever you go. Isn't that awesome? I mean, you guys in uniform, you came home and leave, you wore your uniform. You go somewhere, you weren't afraid. You're proud of it. Was you not, serving our country? You wasn't proud of it, friend? Oh, you didn't wear a uniform back then? Okay. Okay. And then what? Yeah, you beat up pretty good. Well, yeah. We're going back to Vietnam, yes, yeah. Oh, good point. You could wear your uniform. But that uniform was so much hatred towards our military, our men and women serving our country. We were mad at our government, so we beat the men and women that we got drafted or went and served. Does that make any sense? Doesn't it sound like Jesus? Satan's so mad at Jesus, he don't go after Christ. He can't touch him. He comes after us. So, awesome, Fred. Are we the same way? Are we afraid to wear the uniform of Christianity? Are we afraid to take that uniform, that Spirit of God, wherever we go? Are we afraid we'll get beat up? Are we? We are, aren't we? I mean, seriously, check yourself. We are Christians. Certain times of the week, and certain times of the places we go. But other places we aren't, because we know if we are, we get beat up. So my question to you is, was Jesus always Jesus? Did Jesus ever disguise himself?
Nope.
Not that I know of. Okay. Well, we need to be the same way. Question. Can you carry this every place you go this week? And can you imagine shopping at Walmart, having this sitting there, going to eat dinner, going out, going to visit, going to work? Maybe your work might have some restrictions on it. But think of that. I'll guarantee you. We had something on Facebook this week too. We had get a T-shirt that says, "Let me tell you about Jesus." And you go to any place you want to, you have plenty of room. Because nobody will come around you, okay? But I mean, if you took it, walked in, go to the coffee shop and sit down. This either draw Christians to you, but a lot of times they'll push other people away. But are we afraid of that? You know? Hey, he's awesome. Jesus Christ is awesome. We got to recognize you are more powerful than anything that can come against you. Greater He is in you than He that's in the world. His name is above all names, and I tell you, folks, the second part of the message is about tribulation. We'll step into that next week. But tribulation is only for a short period of time. Hell is for eternity. And so we ought to be willing to take on the tribulations as a Christian now to help others not to go to hell. If you have a prayer concern today, we can pray with you. Come on down, Peter. Come on down.